right? We pointed out last week that the beginning of Bava Basra parallels in many respects Bava Kama, in the sense that it deals with the problem of Nezek, the Zakin. At the same time, of course, that raises an important question, and that is that, you know, why are some topics dealt with in Bava Kama and other topics in Bava Basra?
That's a question about that, Rebbe, and not to jump too much quickly, and apologies if there's like a double video popping up. It seems that we could also understand the idea of harchachas of Hilchos Shcheinim as less of a Nezikin and more of a Kinyan idea. Is that possible? Well, it's in Sefer Kinyan, and one could also say, you know, it seems like you look at the beginning of the Rambam, he's focused a lot on like the chalukah between Shcheinim.
Yeah, that's what I think I was saying last week, 100%.
Right, meaning it's less, meaning less of an Ezekian focus on the damages between two separate parties, and more of the when we have a shared, how do we split and, you know, separate those,
yeah, that's
and
what
segregate?
That's what I think right. I was going to say last week. And that's what I'm getting.
Sorry.
No. Good.
I didn't mean to jump.
Good. Meaning I was just reviewing for a second, but what I was trying to say was that Ezekian is more about damage that takes place, you know, when I invade somebody else's property. And it's evident who is the mazik and who is mostly it's evident who is the mazik and who is the nizak, and it's also pretty clear what the maisa hezek is, and you don't need let's say a background or a framework, right, that would explain, like, you know, like a context, in other words, that would kind of bump up or compensate, you know, for something that is objectively, like, you know, questionable, you know, in terms of being a hezek. It's all very clear cut in many of the classical cases at above a comma. It's, you know, shor and bor, you know, mavir and hever. Of course, each of those is a challenge. If I think somebody has to just mute or something.
It's probably.
But, we're good?
Yeah.
I don't want to. This would actually be kind of a Hezek Shmia problem, you know, which we want to avoid. So, the what I'm trying to say is that in Bava Kama, you know, of course, there are complicated cases, but all things being equal, we're dealing with the Mechayev is Nezek and Hezek. And mostly, again, you know, of course, there are many complicated cases. Mostly we can identify, you know, who the mazik is, who the nizak is, you know, and we understand exactly what it is. Whereas, this is the point I was trying to make last week, that the Rambam deals with the dinim of Archakas Nizakin, not in Sefer Nizikin, but in Sefer Kinyan, in Hilchos Shcheinim. That's what I kept quoting about, you know, good neighbors, good fences, or good fences, good neighbors, meaning it's more about the, you know, kind of the special obligations that neighbors have towards each other, and about the goal of, you know, creating a framework in which there is harmony and there is like ongoing good relations. And therefore, it's Sefer Kinyan, and for that very reason, many of the cases of Archakas Nezakin that we, you know, encounter here in the beginning of Bava Basra are cases where there's a lot of ambiguity if you were to look at it purely from a Nezek point of view, which is why the Gemara itself discusses here more than elsewhere the question of, well, is it ala mazik lahazik, or is it ala nizak? Is it ala mazik laharchik, or is it ala nizak laharchik v'lishmor esatzmo? Typically, in a classic, you know, nezek situation, that's not, you know, you don't say to somebody, well, when you walk in Rishus Harabim, you know, you have to wear a hard hat, you know, and armor, and you know, if you take your animal, you know, for a walk, you know, so, you know, you should bring guards, you know, in addition to, like, you didn't do that. You could have prevented it. No one will say that because it's mostly perfectly clear that there's a mazik and there's a nizak, and that there are actions that are trespassing, either physically trespassing or conceptually trespassing the other person's, you know, precincts, you know, and his right of protection. So mostly that's the case in Bava Kamma. Whereas in Bava Basra, we're dealing with a border. And in many cases, we're dealing with things that are done inside each person's border. So, and we're not talking about hurling the missiles, you know, from one border to the next, because then there's a physical crossing. So we're talking about mostly things that I'm doing within my property. If I didn't have a neighbor, they wouldn't be problematic, or at least they'd be my choice. But because I do have a neighbor, there's a spillover, you know, effect. So the question is, I mean, you know, what, at what price? That's an interesting question for any society, right? In our society, we have this question. In America and in American law, there are certainly issues, right? The noise pollution or reyach, right? What can I do within my own property, you know, that also affects, you know, my neighbors? Like if I want to open up a toxic waste, you know, plant, you know, so in addition to the question whether it's commercially zoned or not, you know, just like in terms of complaints, right? I remember, right, some years ago, could talk about noise pollution, right? When they invented the supersonic, I think I read recently that they're trying to bring it back now, right? There was the plane that could traverse, you know, the Atlantic in half the time, you know, and for a while, the SST, I think they called it. And it was BOAC, I think, and some other, and Air France. So there were several years where they had this supersonic flight, which was instead of taking 7 hours from England and from France, it took like 2.5 hours, right? But the noise pollution, because it was a supersonic jet, you know, in what I guess must have been Kennedy Airport, or the airports where it was going to land, that became all the neighbors were up in arms, right? And they tried to stop it. I think there were certain airports where it could land, if I recall, and certain where it could. I think it didn't land in Kennedy, if memory serves. So because the neighbors, you know, in their neighborhoods complained from a quality of life point of view that that it was a noise pollution, but it wasn't in their property. They weren't saying it was in their airspace, probably. So this is an interesting question. These are questions about quality of life, and therefore they're in Sefer Kinyan, and therefore in Hilchos Kinyan. I gave the example last week of Poshea Kemazik, the idea that there's an independent Mazik, but one which requires the anchor of Hilchos Schiros. In other words, I'm a kabbal upon myself, achrayas, and so on. And I'm a kabbal achrayas, and therefore you rely upon me. It's a combination of my commitment and your reliance, you know, and the dinim of shmira, you know, recalibrate what constitutes hezek. I think it's a very, very important principle. But so I do think that there is kinyan as the same idea.
Right. Could you say that there's a tfisa on public property? In other words, instead of saying, we're saying there's nezek, that a person does something that he could be mazik in ways that are more subtle than just walking into someone's clear rishus. Could we say that there are certain areas that have naturally multiple tfisos, and that's why there's this discussion of kinyan? It's not just nezek subtlety, but really kinyan of public areas. For example, of like being of like the public spheres, because eventually the Gemara, the first parak moves towards, you know, share who's chayev to build the wall for the entire city. The idea of splitting the wall. So that's why I thought it was maybe more of a kinyan thing. There is tfisos and bailus on certain.
There are different cases. Okay. So maybe if I get a chance, I'll even illustrate that a little bit today. But if you have, if you already have a shutfus, you know, a common chatzer, et cetera, let's say the laws of what constitutes nezek might be different there than just two neighbors that have no common property whatsoever. So I think what you're saying may be true, is true in some cases, but it's not true in all the cases that we talk about. So it's, we'll soon see within in what we call gireh delay, which literally means chitzim, shooting arrows at you, you know. We'll see what the cases are. As far as that is concerned, you know, there may be, you know, differences, you know, between, like, you know, we own something in common, now we're breaking up, so now it's a policy question, you know, of how to share the space, you know, going forward, or how to divide the common space going forward. That might be different than, you know, two completely independent, you know, neighbors have nothing in common other than they happen to live next to each other and they have a common border, you know.
So we wouldn't necessarily say there's some sort of general tfis of two unrelated parties, but naturally there's
I'm just saying, not, I don't think you'd say it in all cases, certainly not. Okay. And again, like what about public hazards? You know, there you might say something more like that. But, and of course, remember, invasion of somebody's privacy, you could argue is not, you know, I'm describing some of these cases because things happen in one rishus and they affect another rishus. But you might say, well, you know, noise pollution or privacy invasion, you know, in terms of, spying on other people or overlooking into their property, you know, in some respects, your vision is going, you know, the effect is going into their property. So it's not so simple. I think there are different ways to look at it. But certainly, in the bigger picture of what we're, all the different cases that we're talking about, the common denominator that differentiates these Bava Basra cases from Bava Kama cases is the fact that we're not dealing with a classic, unambiguous, Maisa Hezek with a Mazik, clear Mazik, clear Nizak, clear Maisa Hezek, you know, and in many cases, clear way to assess also the damages. We're dealing with things that are more subtle, more complicated, where there are multiple rights. Again, the right I have to use my property in an unconstrained, unfettered way, as opposed to your right not to be adversely affected by the things that I do, right? So it is complicated, but that's kind of what we were speaking about last week. Again, it's still hard a little bit to talk. So, yeah, good. So, okay. So in light of that, I thought we would start, and then we talked about, you know, whether these Bava Basra type hezek as opposed to Bava Kama, is there an Isra Lahazik? Is there Chiv Tashlumin in the same way? Would you be Pasali Edus if you were Pasali Edus for regular Hezek? What are the laws of Garmi and Grama, you know, as applied to them? There's a lot of issues to raise once we, you know, kind of put it in these frameworks. So I think it is very, very helpful. Okay, so I think I'm not sure if we began last week reading the Gemara, but I think we did. Let me get back to that and just read through the first daf quickly and then read some of the other cases. For now, what I'm interested in doing is trying to, you know, get on the record the argument about Hezek Re'ia in particular. Hezek Re'ia means overlooking into somebody's property, right? Invading their privacy in some respect. What is the problem? Is there a problem with that? Is that really Nezek or not? And if so, are there different levels of it? Which is another way of asking, are there different also types and mechayvim in Hezek Re'ia? Again, thinking about it before we get plunge into the Gemara, which we're going to do in just one more minute, you know, as I said last week, just remember that, you know, kol, mara, v'reach, generally, are areas of halacha, you know, that are perceived as being more subtle, right? We say kol mara v'reach ein bahem mishum me'ila. Sometimes, you know, in kachim. Sometimes we say, you know, kol ma'ariv reach ein bahem mamish, right? Because they're more amorphous. They're not, you know, completely, you know, physical actions. So if I'm overlooking into your territory, or if I'm, you know, causing some, you know, aroma, you know, reach, or noise pollution, as I said before. So just from a pure objective, you know, nezek point of view, right, there's something to be, you know, to be weighing here. Right, in the Beis HaMikdash, some of these things would not be me'ila. But if we're talking about Shechinim and their mutual obligations, right, to improve the neighborhood, you know, good fences, good neighbors, or, you know, the implicit hischaivus, you know, because of the ubiquity, the potential strife, or just the neighborliness, right, to treat your neighbor differently than just a third party. So what might typically be davar she'ein bo mamish, right, might here be something which, you know, it is a nezek maybe on a purely objective scale, but it may be, you know, something which the framework of Shechinim requires us to be very careful about. Okay. Anyway.
Just for me to put it in perspective, yeah. Me'il is not a din of hezek. Me'il is a special xeris akosov. You're not mazik hektish. You could have hanah from hektish without mazik at all. So why would I extrapolate from Me'ila and say...
Number one, Me'ila does parallel Isurei Hanah in general, the dinam of Me'ila.
Right.
Me'ila is gezel of Hekdesh, or Tanah of Hekdesh.
Right.
I mean, again, the exact relationship between the gezel part and the Hishtamshus and the Hanah part is a very massive topic. But Me'ila certainly is a parallel to Hanah, or to Isur Hanah, and to Gezel.
But it's so not mazik.
It doesn't have to be mazik. My point isn't about mazik per se. And that's why I also paralleled it. And I said sometimes we use the expression about mare, kol, and reach, the ein bahem mamish. The bigger point I'm trying to make here is that these are more than, like, if I push you, if I hit you, you know, if I, you know, physically, you know, burn down your barn, those are physical actions. And if I look at you the wrong way, or I bombard you with noise that not that damages your eardrum, let's say, but that annoys you from a quality of life point of view, you know, or things of that sort, it's not so clear that yesh bahem mamish enough. So I'm saying, just like in the context of me'ila and kadshim, you know, those may not qualify. Those often do not qualify. And just like in other contexts where you need a davar shel mamish, these do not qualify. So too, it's interesting to think about them, right, in terms of nizkei shechinim, you know, and if they do qualify, you know, then that may further reinforce the idea that the whole thing is, you know, based on greater expectations, you know, the positive relationship that is required, you know, between Jews and between neighbors, even more particularly, right? So I'm not saying that me'ila is nezek. I'm saying that me'ila, you know, like other things, is a fair barometer of whether we treat more amorphous processes, like looking at something or smelling something or hearing something, in the same way that we treat, you know, more clearly or more obviously, more unambiguously physical processes, like touching things, right?
Okay, and then how does this fit into the idea of hezek shen nikar? No, are these?
It's a great question. We'll get to it. Hezek. We'll have to discuss what hezek. Hezek shen nikar actually comes up, you know, right in the beginning here. We'll see in a moment in terms of kilayim. But Hezek she'eno nikar is a davar, is a chefza shel nezek, you know, which is not shel mamish. It's like a halachic status, chefza shel nezek. Like I make something tame, right? Or I turn something into isra'na without any physical evidence, according to some rishonim, or even if it's physical evidence, but it's not a physical, it's a halachic, you know, damage. So it's a little bit different because it has an economic impact. In other words, if I, you know, take your, you know, peiros and I turn them into chefza shel isuriana, or your, you know, your dough and I turn it into chametz v'pesach, right? So, you know, as a chefza, you know, there's no chefza shel nezek that's evident, but there's hefzed mamon because it used to be worth $1,000 and now it's worth zero. Right now, the thing about hezek re'ia and or shmia, you know, or et cetera, is that they're not obviously, you know, they don't have an economic impact, you know, in the shuk, in the halachic shuk, in the same way. But there is a parallel, there is an overlap between those things, no question about it. If you were to say that it's more like, I mean, hezek shen nikar is a debate in the Gemara, whether shmo hezek or lo shmo hezek. Right? So if you say hezek shen nikar lo shmo hezek, and yet you say, you know, that kol mare reach, these things are mazikim, you know, that's important. But they are different still. In one case, there's more of an obvious economic effect if you're a halachic person. That's, you know, that part is undeniable. On the other hand, there's even less of a physical imprint, mostly. We'll see later, not today, but there's actually a debate how to understand hezek shen nikar. Does it mean that that the nezek is invisible, or does it mean that the nezek, it might be visible, it's just that it's, what's visible is significant only halachically, right? Let's say you put a sheret on top of taharos, right? So it's nikar that what you did, it's not, you know, for now, but it's still only halachic. And we'll see, that's in Machlokes in Tosas and Ramban. But either way, hezek shen nikar is an interesting parallel. It's different, but there's overlapping. Interesting connection. Okay, so let's start with the reading the Gemara. So one of the things I'm going to try to show is I'll just, you know, foreshadow what we're going to see a little bit. One is that there's a debate whether hezek re'ia shma hezek or not. However, as we'll see, you'll tell me if you disagree, that you know, one would have thought if there's an argument whether hezek re'ia shma hezek or lo shma hezek, that would be pretty absolute. Meaning, the man d'amar who held hezek re'ia shma hezek, you would think would hold it's like a regular nezek, and the man d'amar who held hezek re'ia lo shma hezek would say it's a davar shein bo mamish, you know, or whatever. And, you know, like, don't be so squeamish. You're not doing anything. You can, you know, transparency, like they all say today, right? You know, transparency. So obviously we don't believe in, you know, uncritical transparency. We believe in transparency is really important in certain areas, like the Yisim Nikiyim, when it comes to financial, you know, dealings and, you know, being on the up and up and having a good reputation, and especially dealing with Mamon HaTzibur. So transparency, which is, you know, the call of the day, is very, very much in keeping, very appropriate. You know, just the, you know, we've said this for a long time, but v'yisim nikiyim. That kind of transparency is all constructive, all admirable. But what's sometimes called transparency, you know, is the absence of privacy in our society. Like, you know, why are you hiding? You know, why don't you tell all, you know, in your Facebook page or your I guess, Twitter account, or I have it right, or Instagram, or that only for pictures, whatever it is. Anyways, right, this idea of, transparency as an absence of any kind of privacy or any kind of boundaries or any kind of hierarchy, sharing, with different strata or relationships in your life is something which is completely antithetical to Torah and to Halacha. It's a real toxic factor in our society, truth is. And very dangerous. Well, now they're finding out just how dangerous it is, But, it's very addictive. It's very, hurtful. And it's just not consistent with, refinement and kavod ha'adam. So one would have thought that there's an argument of whether hezek v'ya shema hezek or lo shema hezek. The question is probably privacy. Clearly, the halacha considers to be a good thing, important thing and a necessary thing. Tzniusa, certainly very important. But you could say that, as it's not nezek, hezek v'ya. But what we're going to see is that while there is an argument whether hezek v'ya shema hezek or lo shema hezek, there are plenty of exceptions. And apparently there are different levels of hezek riya, or maybe you shouldn't call it hezek riya. It doesn't really matter. I want to get, bogged down with the nomenclature. But the point is that as you apply this principle to different locations or different circumstances, it could be, that we take a different posture. And one of the things we're going to have to figure out is, where we see that and why that is, and also to pin down better, what is it about hezek riya that is really problematic? Does it really just integrate into some sort of financial restriction? And if so, how? Or is it really more about the positive value of privacy and quality of life itself? Okay, so those are things to look for. So the Mishnah says here, we're just going to go through a few Gemaras, and as we go through them, we will reinforce this question. Hashutfin. So the first Mishnah is about a situation where you have initially a partnership. And this is also something that we need to calculate, kind of what Ari was saying before, right? When you have a partnership and they share common spaces and there's a kinyan relationship between them, then how they navigate privacy and divisions that remain between them, notwithstanding their partnership, might be a little bit different than, other neighbors, which in turn might be different from other Jews, who live a distance away, right? So either way, the Mishnah says, Hashutfim Shiratsu, right, lasos mechitza. If you have shutfin that are interested in mechitza, we'll see in a moment the Gemara has a debate what the word mechitza means here. There are two possibilities. Either it means in splitting their property, or it means in building a wall after splitting their property. We'll see in a moment. So shutfin shiratza lasos mechitza b'chatzer, in a courtyard, bonin es hakosel be'emtza. So they are obligated to build a wall, common wall, right, in the middle of their properties. In other words, they're obligated to share the building material and even the location to build this wall. Mokom shenago livnos gvil, gazis, kvisin, levenin, bonin. So this is the second point in the Mishnah. What is the quality of the wall? What is the width of the wall? What is the sturdiness of the wall? The wall, in theory, could be composed of different, physical materials, some of which are sturdier, more expensive, more opaque, right, than others. So the Mishnah briefly or succinctly gives some examples, Gvil, Gozis, Kvis, and Levenim, etc. But then they add Hakol Kamina Gamadina. Now, this Hakol Kamina Gamadina also needs to be looked at. Hakol Kamina Gamadina, you know, is there a minimum and a maximum? The Hakol Kamina Gamadina, in other words, is within the range of fences or walls that the Mishnah outlines. But let's say the Minhag HaMedina is something even more expensive or more, you know, greater quality. Or let's say the Minhag HaMedina is something more, you know, fly by night, something, you know, less, you know, effective, you know, in accomplishing the goal. But that's the Minhag HaMedina. When the Mishnah says, Hakol Kaminhag HaMedina, does it mean to limit it either Lekula Lechumra or not? We'll get back to that. Then the Mishnah explains, Gvil, Zenosen Gimel Tvachim, Zenosen Gimel Tvachim. The Gazis, Zenosen Tvachayim Umechza, Zenosen Tvachayim Umechza. The Kvisin, Zenosen Tvachayim, Zenosen Tvachayim. Bilvenin, Zenosen Tvach Umechza, Zenosen Tvach Umechza. So basically all the Mishnah is saying here is that if there is going to be a wall, then, you know, depending on the material requires a certain, you know, there's a certain integrity, you know, to building a wall out of these different materials. It's something that you have to attend to. Okay? So obviously the more sturdy and expensive, you know, the material, the less, you know, width, you know, is required, whereas you have to compensate on things that are more flimsy. Okay. But either way, it's clear that the Mishnah is trying also to explain that there has to be equal sharing of the burden in the building of this wall. L'fikach emnafal ha-kosel ha-makom va-avonim shel shneihem. For that reason, if the kosel falls down, then the place and the materials are split between the two of them. Even if, when it falls, let's say, more in the possession of one than the other. In other words, let's say it falls unevenly, okay? And one of the parties makes the claim that is disputed by the other party, you know, that he invested more than the other one. In other words, so let's say he said he invested everything. Say all these stones are my stones, right? So, or three quarters of them are, whatever it is. So the default assumption in this case is that they have to share everything. And therefore the burden of proof, even though normally you might say, like if the Avanim fall in the Rishus of the Ruvain, so normally you would think that, you know, Ruvain can say, well, I'm claiming that these are mine. And if you want to disprove my claim, then Amotzi Mechaver or Levaraya, because they're in my possession. But since we know that the wall, you know, once existed and now, you know, is in pieces, and we know that the halacha is that all things being equal, that they need to share the financial burden equally. So therefore, the burden is not on the person who, you know, who's trying to be motzi avanim from the other person's rishus. In this case, the burden would be to prove that it isn't mechza mechza. Because that's what the Mishnah is telling us, and we'll get back to this halacha. That's lefikach emnafel hakosel hamakom v'avanim shel shneim. Then the Mishnah says, "V'chein begina." This requirement is also true for a gina, for a garden or a pardes, whatever it is. Mokom shino agoligdar mechayvin also. In a place where the minug is to build a wall, that becomes obligatory between neighbors. Now, if you notice, the language of the Mishnah is a little bit different here. Here it says, Mokum Shenoagu, right, Ligdar. Previously, the Mokum Shenoagu, in the case of Chatzer, refers mostly to the quality of the wall, not to whether there's a tradition, right, or default law to build the wall. Here, we're being told, V'chein Begina, Mokum Shenoagu, Ligdar, Mechayvin also. Then in a gina, the requirement to separate, you know, two owners, or to separate a gina that belongs to one for the property that belongs to the other, that obligation, it sounds like, applies b'mokom shenago ligdar. And the Gemara discusses whether this is true or not. Aval b'bika, but in a bika, which is a, you know, just a... not an orchard, you know, but a regular field in which you plant tevua. Mokom shenogu shelo ligdar ein mechayvin also. Right? That in a place where the minog is not to be go there, there's no chiyuv. Again, this relating to what I said a second ago, the language of the Mishnah is this very problematic. He kind of says, is there a difference in Bika and Gina? And Gina, we say Makom Shenogu Ligdor Mechayvin. And here we say Bika Makom Shenogu Shalo Ligdor Ein Mechayvin. And Chatzah, we don't talk about that at all. So the Gemara will discuss it. Elam Ratzel Lekones Letokshal. If there's no obligation for them to build a common wall, then, you know, what do you do if one party, you know, really insists on his privacy? So in Ratza, Koneis Lato Shalo Bona the Osa Chazis Mibachotz. So in a Bika, B'makom Shenoagu Shalo Ligdar, you can't force the both parties to invest. The party that's interested in making the wall, he will have to build it on his property, meaning on his side of the line. And what he can do, though, is he can make a simon in the wall in such a way that it indicates that the material belongs to him. Lefikach, therefore, mafala koso, in that circumstance, if the wall falls down, hamakom v'havanim, right, shalom. If there's evidence that only he built it, then the place in which you find it and the avanim, all of which are in his property, belong to him. Okay. Imasu midashneya. On the other hand, even in a bika, even b'makom shenagu shelo ligdar, if there was an agreement between the two of them, then bonin as a kosel be'emtza, then you would build the wall between the two of them in the middle. You would collect money from both of them. Be'osin chazis mikan u'mikan, and then you would have simanim on either side of the wall to indicate that each one is a partner in the wall. L'fikach nafal kosel. Okay, so already there's an interesting dynamic in the Mishnah. One with respect to Motzei Mechir Alo Araya, but that we're going to hold off on for now. But secondly, you know, the different presentation of Chatzer, Gina, and Bika, right? In terms of Chatzer, it sounds the Mokom Shenogu refers to the quality of the wall. If it was a Mokom Shenogu Shalo Ligdor Klal B'chatzer, what would be the rule? What would be the law? I don't know from the Mishnah. Right? We'll see that is a major debate in the Rishonim. Right? You'll see, I'll explain where it comes from in a minute. But the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba in particular, Rabbeinu Yonah was of the opinion, we'll explain it going forward, that b'makom shenogu lo ligdar in a chatzer, that we respect that too. That there's no need for a wall. And the Rajba, and most Rishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch, paskin that in a chatzer, even b'makom shenogu lo ligdar, chayavim lasos kosa. But in a gina, it sounds like, in a gina and a bika, it sounds like the minog is very important. As for what the default is like let's say you have a new city and they don't have a minhag, you know, is the assumption, you know, that you do build a wall or you don't build a wall? You definitely need a minhag shelo ligdor or you need a minhag ligdor? Maybe that's from singina and bika. Hard to know. But either way, in the Mishnah itself, there are already three locations. Chatzer, Chatzer Shutfim, Gina, and Bika. Okay. The Gemara says, Svaruha, right? My Mechitza Guda. Initially, the Gemara thought that the word Mechitza in the Mishnah, again, Ashutfim Shiratsu Lasos Mechitza. Shutfim that want to make mechitza, right? Bonus akoso be'emtza. So the Gemara originally thought that what that meant was guda, meaning if the shutfim agree to make a wall between them, to make a wall, then they should make it in the middle, and they should split the costs. That's what the Mishnah is saying. How do you know the word mechitza means wall? We know that, but how do you know it? Kidatanya mechitza sakerem shenifritza. If you have a vineyard, right, and the vineyard has walls, and they are breached, and on the other side of the mechitza or the breach is a tvua. So the problem is, if that grows, not so much, doesn't need to grow so much, but if it grows a certain amount, then that becomes Kilaya Karen. And Kilaya Karen is also Bana. So what happens is, Mechitzas HaKerem Shenifritza, if a person's, if the wall of my vineyard falls down, Omer Lo Gedor. So you tell the guy, listen, you're in danger of generating Kilaya Karen. So build up the wall. Tell him Gedor, right? So what does the word mechitza mean there? Guda, wall, right? If the wall is breached, you tell him to build it up, right? Chazra v'nifritza, let's say you built it up and then it breached again, in a way, again, that compromises the barrier to Kilayim. Omer lo Gedor. So once again, you tell him, you know, to build it up again. This yai shemena velo gadra, if he, you know, forgets about it, he ignores it, right, and leaves it, then there's no fence. And then, as Rashi points out, the amount that's necessary to grow in order to qualify as kilayim grows. So then, areza kidesh, that's called kilayim. Rashi explains, kidesh atvua. The tvua, which is now growing close to the grapes, right, becomes kilayim, imhosif masayim, lishna dekra nakat pentukdash, right, pentukdash amaleya. That's the language of the pasuk with regard to kilayim. Okay, so this is actually a very interesting question, since I think Dr. Maybrook just asked me about Hezek Shein Nigger. Just look at the Tosaf, but I'm not going to go into it now. I will get back to it in Yirtzeh Hashem. The Mishnah, because this we just read, Hareza Kiddush V'Chayi Bachriyu, so you have to pay because it's a Hefzed Mamon. So look at the second Tosaf on the Daf. Tosaf, Afagav, the Hezek Shein Nigger Lo Shvei Hezek. What happened to the rule that Hezek Shein Nigger Lo Shvei Hezek? And this is a halachic Nezek, not a physical one, says Tosis. This is what I was referring to. Nirulari, Dahai Choshiv, Hezek Nikar, Shari Nikarhu, Shu Kalayim, Gishiroa Gefanim, Besada, right? Umitame, Alpha Bishiroa, Sheret Halataros, La Choshiv, Hezek Nikar, Demiodea, Imhukshiru. Okay, so again, I'll get back to this, but what, you know, he's saying Sheretz is sitting on top of something. You know, maybe that's not Nikar, but only because you don't know whether the Heftza was Huchshar Therefore, it's not obvious that it become that it was mistame. But Tosas seems to be saying that whenever it's evident, whenever there's objective evidence for the Iser or for the, you know, Hefsed Mamon, even if it's a halachic Hefsed, that counts as Hezek Nikar. And the Ramban and Kutasini de Garmi disagrees with that. He thinks that, you know, halachic damage typically is or almost always is called Hezek Shena Nikar. It doesn't depend whether it's Nikar La'ayin for somebody who knows the halacha, let's say, you know, that the contamination or the process took place. So that's an interesting question. Either way, not for now. I hope that we'll get back to it. Either way, what does all this have to do with our Mishnah? So if you interpret the words Hashudfim, right, Shiratzu Lasas Mechita Bekata Bonis Hakosel Be'emtza, that it means Guda, like in Kilayim, so then what we're really saying is if two partners agree to dissolve their partnership in a chatzer, and they also agree to erect a fence, a wall, a barrier, right? Then in that circumstance, right, the details are that they should split, that they should, you know, choose a Minhag Medina model, etc. But the big takeaway is Tamid Ratzu, Halo Ratzu, Ein Mechayven Oso. That's only if they agree to build a fence. If they don't agree, let's say they decide to dissolve their partnership and not to build a fence. That's okay. Even B'Mokom Shenogin doesn't make a difference if they agree. The only reason that you can, the only reason they're building a fence here is because they decided, you know, together to do so. Tamid Ratzu, Halo Ratzu, Ein Mechayven Oso. Alma, Hezek Re'iyah, Lav Shmei Hezek. We see from here that just because two people live next to each other, and even in a situation where there's now a new threat of overlooking or of invasion of privacy, whatever you want to call it, right? Nonetheless, that is not per se a basis to require a wall, because Hezek Re'iyah, Lo Shma Hezek. So one would have thought that what that means is not nice to look into other people's property. The person, you know, may prefer that you don't, defines it annoying or worse, but it's not Hezek. It's not Nezek. You can't, you know, charge the other fellow money to force him to erect a wall. Hezek re elo shma Hezek. Now, how far do you go with this? You could say, because it's, you know, Eimba Mamish, not Nezek. But then it should apply across the board. And we're going to see in a moment that even this Mandama, Hezek Kriya Loshma Hezek, you know, agrees in other cases. So it isn't so simple.
Maybe it's not a Hezek. I mean, it might be a Hezek, but they're Moichel.
We'll get to that.
You can be Moichel. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So
this is the okay. I'll just tell you right now, but we're going to get to it. But this is a big, 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 big question. You just, you know, opened up a very heated argument. Whether you can be mochel or not, whether the issue they call it, is there chazaka for Hezek Re'iyah? Can the other person? So this is the riff. We'll elaborate. There's a tshuva of the Rif that's quoted by all the Rishonim here, but we don't have that tshuva, at least as far as I know, we don't. It would be amazing if we did, because it's so pivotal. But the thrust of it, the way that it's quoted by the Rimigash, and, you know, by the Ramban, by the Rama, but, you know, the earliest one, the Rimigash, is that what the Rif said was, in his opinion, there's no mechila, there's no chazaka on Hezek Re'iyah. He said, how do I know it? He said, from this Gemara. He was thinking the way you were thinking, but, you know, in the other direction. He said, after all, how does the Gemara know from here that Hezek Ria Lo Shma Hezek. That if they have to agree to a fence, Hezek Ria must be Lo Shma Hezek. Maybe really, really Hezek Ria Shma Hezek. But we're talking about a situation where they were mochel to each other, whether they lived together for many years without building. Neither of them insisted on building a fence. So in this situation, there's a chazaka, you know, that that there's no requirement. But Lu Yitzuyar, you know, there wasn't a chazaka, then maybe Hezek Ria Shma Hezek. Says the Rif, why didn't the Gemara think of that? That's kind of what you asked, right?
Right.
So the Rif says the fact that the Gemara is so confident that, you know, Hezek Ria Lo Shma Hezek, according to this reading of the Mishnah, proves that there is no alternative of chazaka for Hezek Ria. There is no alternative for Mechila. We'll see it later on. I mean, this is the tshuva of the Rif. Others, beginning with the Rimigash, say they don't think it's such a strong question, and therefore they don't think it's a good raya. The Ramban says, I don't think it's a good raya, but I still think the Rif is right, which is also Madrega. Why don't they think it's such a good raya? They say, listen, default, if there's an obligation, if Hezek Ria Shma Hezek, and there's an obligation to build a fence, then default, that's the law, unless we know, then you have to prove, or somebody should tell us, that we're talking about a case of Mechila or Chazaka. You shouldn't just assume, you know, that the case on the mission is a case where there's a Chazaka or a Mechila. So they don't like the Rif's proof. And many of them don't like his conclusion. But as it happens, the Ramban does, even though he doesn't like the proof. Okay, so we'll get back to that. That's going to be a massive topic. You know, we try not to spend too much time on it. But we'll see where that call comes from and how that all plays out by the various Rishonim. It's maybe the most telling issue in Hezek Ria, whether if there's a desire in both parts, there can be Mechila or Chazaka. Okay, so good. The Gemara says, Tamad Ratzo lo Ratzo ein Mechaymin, Ama Hezek Ria lo Shma Hezek. Says the Gemara, Be'ema Mechitza Plukta. Maybe we're reading the Mishnah all wrong. Maybe the word Mechitza in the Mishnah doesn't mean Kosel, Guda. Maybe it means Plukta. What is Plukta? They're dividing their partnership. So the way to read the Mishnah is, how does it go back in the Mishnah? Hashutfim Sheratu Lasas Mechitza Bechatzer. Shutfim, who want to split, who want to end, who want to terminate their shutfas in a chatzer, bonin as a kosel be'emtza. They're obligated to build a wall between them. What does that mean? Says the Gemara. Maybe the ema mechitza plukta. Maybe mechitza means splitting the property. Kidachsiv. Vatehi mechtzas ha'eda. Right, half of the eda. The kimin deratzu bonim as a kosel balkarchal. And that means that once they agree to split their property, so we're dealing with two private properties, not a common property, then the Mishnah says they have to build a kosel. Alma Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek. So we see the opposite. And Hezek Ria is an actionable concern. And any time that there is a splitting, any time there's private property, right, Hezek Ria is a factor. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, Hai Sheratzu, Lasas Mechitza, Sheratzu Lachatzos, Miboile. Okay? Just in terms of the language, right, it's a little bit of an awkward language. It should have said, you know, Sheratzu Lachatzos, Elamai. What's a better way to read the Mishnah? The other way, Guda, says the Gemara, not really. bonin es hakosel, bonin osomi boile. It says what? Hashudfim shiratzu lasos mechitza bonin es hakosel. The mechitza is the kosel. So it should say hashudfim shiratzu, right? Lasos mechitza, bonin oso beemtza. Not bonin es hakosel beemtza. Right? Says the Gemara, no. Itani oso, hava mina b'mispis b'alma. If it had said oso, we'd say, oh, you don't really need a kosel. All you need is some sort of a, like, you know, a very flimsy marker, just to show you where the boundary is. But you don't need anything, you know, to actually separate and to prevent hezekriya. Kamash malan, kosel. So at this point, the Gemara is sticking with it. Basically, the Gemara has introduced that there's an argument whether Hezek Riyah Shema Hezek or Lo Shema Hezek, number one. And number two, that the best reading of the Mishnah, according to the Gemara so far, is that Hezek Riyah Lo Shema Hezek. Right? And only if there's an agreement to build a wall do you build the wall. But there's no din that private property needs to be protected from onlookers. Okay, good. However, and if you had that reading of the Mishnah and that view, that Hezek Riyah Lo Shema Hezek, so then the expectation would be that you might say something like Riyah is a davar shema mamish, and then across the board, right, there's no din of Hezek Riyah. What becomes immediately clear, though, is that this Gemara, right, this issue is much more complicated. So the Gemara goes on to say, Pshita, bonus akosel be'emtza pshita, lo tricha de kadim chad v'ratzia l'chabri. Of course the Gemara says, maybe, isn't it obvious once we say that there's an obligation to build a wall or that they agree to build a wall, however you want to put it, let's say at the moment we think it's, they agree to build a wall, of course they have to build a wall together. Says the Gemara, no, Pshita, isn't it simple? Isn't it obvious? Lo tzricha de kadim chad v'ratzia l'chaber. Let's say one, let's say they agreed, but they agreed not because, you know, they're both equally committed. Let's say Reuven and Shimon. Reuven convinced Shimon. So, ma'u d'seima matzi amarle ki isratzai lach ba'avira. But b'tash mishasa so maybe he will say to him, listen, I agreed for to divide, to create a barrier between us, but I didn't want it to impact my usable space. I don't mind, you know, if it cuts off, you know, avira, meaning if it separates us, but I do mind if it eats up part of my property that I could have used for Tashmishin. And therefore, maybe not an even, either, in other words, a kosel which is very, very thin, says Rashi, or, you know, that most of the thickness of the wall, since you're the one who convinced me, goes on your side. Kamash Malan, that as long as they agreed, and none of this is specified, right, that they split the kosel completely. Okay. Says the Gemara, good. The Hezek Rialav Shmei Hezek. Is it really conceivable, according to this reading of the Mishnah and this conclusion, that Hezek Re'iyah is nothing? Tashma, after all, the same Mishnah says, V'chein Begina. Now, the story of the Gina, right, seems to just be somebody else's property. We're not talking about Shutfim Shachalko. So if that's the case, it sounds like a Gina, certainly B'mokam Shinoagu, requires a Kosa. Doesn't that prove that Hezek Riyah Shema Hezek? Says the Gemara, Gina shiny kidrab abba. We have to get back to this. That when the tvua, right, is developing, other people should not be staring into this person's sada. That's what the Gemara calls an ayin ena bisha. And what exactly that is, of course, is a question. Like, what is that exactly? Ayin ra. But nonetheless, that's what the Gemara says. But it's very remarkable, actually, because what the Gemara is saying is, this is, what I hinted at before, that even if Hezek rialoshma Hezek, in a gina, there'll be a requirement for a wall. Even if there's no requirement of a wall in a chotzer, hashutfin, where the partnership broke up, per se, but to protect a person's gina, that there would be a requirement for a wall, even without agreement. We'll see later on that Rabbeinu Yonah understood, it's very reasonable, that what the Gemara is telling us is that there's a bigger protection of privacy in a gina because of Eina Bisha than there is in a chatzer. In a chatzer, there's an argument. And in a gina, there's not. Is that the reading of the Gemara? Hard to know. Something like that. Except the Gemara doesn't exactly say that the din of Asur Lanim Lamod B'Sada Chaver B'Shashi Amedes B'Kamoseha is Midin Hezek Ria. Or that it's the same Hezek Ria, that we talk about potentially in Chatzir. Okay? What is clear is that even if Hezek Ria Lo Shmei Hezek in a Chatzir, there is need to protect the privacy of a Gina on the basis of this principle of Eina Bisha. Okay? That's so clear. Then the Gemara says, V'ha V'chein Ketani. But if the Mishnah said V'chein, doesn't that imply that whatever is true for Gina is also true earlier for the Chatzer? Says the Gemara, no, Agvil V'gazis. The V'chein refers to the parameters of the wall. What kind of quality wall? It doesn't refer to the obligation to build a wall. That obligation is greater in a gina than it is in a chatzer. That's the Gemara so far. If you assume that Hezek Ria lo shma Hezek. Okay. Toshma. So far the Gemara is sticking with its guns that in a chatzer Hezek Ria lo shma Hezek. And the Mishnah is talking about a case where there's a haskama to build a wall. Toshma, kosel chatzer shenofal. Let's say you had a wall of a chatzer. I mean, there is a chatzer that belongs to two individuals, and it's divided by a wall. Right, each has its own portion. It's divided by a wall, and the wall fell down. So the din is that mechayvinos olivnos adalid amos. You're obligated to rebuild the wall up to the point of dalid amos. Dalid Amos is the typical shear of Hezek Ria, of Ria. Until the point of Dalid Amos, people can look in, if it's less than Dalid Amos, in other words, you don't need to make more than Dalid Amos, but you need to go up to Dalid Amos for a wall to be effective against Hezek Ria. So what do we see from there? It's a chiyu. They agreed to make a wall. Wall fell down. They're obligated to rebuild the wall. Why are they obligated? Says the Gemara, isn't that show the Hezek Ria Shema Hezek? So the Gemara says, no. Nafal shiny. They agreed, so it's part of the original agreement. It's not that Hezek Ria Shema Hezek, and therefore Nafal requires a new wall. They originally agreed, and part of that agreement, covers Nefila, unless otherwise indicated. Just like they have the obligation to put up the wall, they have the obligation to sustain the wall or to rebuild the wall. Says the Gemara, Udekarole my Karole. It's such a good answer that you almost don't even understand the question. Like, what do they think? Why do they think this was even a raya? Says the Gemara, like, why do they think they even need to tell us this? It's so obvious. Says the Gemara, Seifa Tzrichale. Bidal Ramos, Ulamala, Ein Mechaivinoso. Let's say you have a wall that is 8 amos high. Right? You have an 8 amos high wall. And it falls down. So the chiddush is that you're only obligated to rebuild it 4 amos. You might have thought that, you know, whatever you agree to, you know, that's what you need to rebuild. Kamash Malan, which is very interesting in a way, that the, you know, it's basically, if you build an 8 amos high wall, what you're really doing is building a 4 plus amos wall. Meaning, the significance of the wall, you know, is defined by the Dalet Amos. And anything you build beyond that, you decided to build beyond that, but that's not part of the Schaivus to upkeep. Which implies that even if Hezek Re'iyah Lo Shma Hezek, still the Lemaisa, the fact that this protects from privacy up to Dalet Amos, right, is what gives the wall significance, at least on the agreement level. Even if it's not Mechaya view independently, right, it does define the Shutfus, the agreement between the parties. Everybody with me so far? Hopefully? Okay. Tashma. So again, what we're seeing is two things. Number one, that even if there's no Hezek Re'iyah Shma Hezek in Chatzer, there is in Gina. Number two, even if Hezek She'ena Re'iyah Lo Shma Hezek, even if Hezek Re'iyah Lo Shma Hezek, the wall, right, is defined in terms of Re'iyah. The chalos of the wall and their agreement, because an 8 foot, 8 amma wall that falls down only needs to be rebuilt to 4 amas. Okay? Tashma. Kofinoso, livnos beis shar, bedeles lechatzer. So what this seems to mean is that we force the neighbors in the courtyard, say a bunch of neighbors share a courtyard. Right? Each one is obligated to contribute to fencing off or to creating a barrier, you know, to anybody to look in from the outside to look into the courtyard. Says the Gemara, Shma Mina, Hezek Re'iyah Shme Hezek. Obviously, like why are all the Bnei HaChatzer obligated to pool their money, right, to block off visually, you know, the entrance of the to the Chatzer? Obviously, because we're concerned about their privacy. Doesn't that prove Hezek Re'iyah Shma Hezek? Says the Gemara, Hezekah de Rabim, shiny. Oop, another chiluk. The protection from a neighbor or from an individual, that's part of the machlokas Hezek Re'iyah Shma Hezek or Lo Shma Hezek. But Hezekah de Rabim, that's a different barrier. Everybody agrees that when it comes to that, Hezek Re'iyah Shma Hezek. Wow. So we have a chiluk between Gina and Chatzer. We have an implicit idea that if people choose to build a wall, even if Hezek Re'iyah Lo Shma Hezek, right, that the wall is defined by its effectiveness for privacy. Now we have a third point, and that is that everybody agrees that to protect from Hezekah de Rabim, as opposed to Hezekah de Shochein or de Yochid, everybody agrees there that you're obligated to build a wall, that Hezekah, Hezek Re'iyah Shma Hezek, or something equivalent to. Says the Gemara, Udi Yochid lo, only Hezekah de Rabim, but we're still sticking with the story that Hezek Re'iyah of a Yachid Moshe Hezek. Tashma, Ein Cholken is a Chatzer, Had Sheba Dalet Amos Lezeh, V'Dalet Amos Lezeh. V'Yesh Bo K'dei Lezeh. Kolkin. Right later on, we're told that you can't split up a chatzer. Let's say you have there's a chatzer. It belongs to, you know, two people. And one of them says, listen, I want to split up the property. So the rule is, if each one has dalet amos after the split, I mean, it's more than eight amos, then each one can force the termination of the partnership. However, if the area doesn't allow for each one to walk away with dalet amos, right, then neither can force the other to split the property, understandably. In other words, if there's dalet amos for each, so then, you know, you have basically two properties in one. And if, you know, there's only, if there's less than dalet amos for each, then it's really one integrated property. That's one way to look at it. Or another way to look at it is that, you know, the loss to one party is too great when you force him. You know, he was partner in a viable property, a makom, something of dalet amos, right? And now he's being forced, you know, to accept less than a makom. That you can't do. If they're, you know, partners, and each one's going to walk away with a, you know, a legitimate property, a legitimate makom, or a legitimate rishus, that you can do. Okay, either way. The Gemara says, "Hayesh b'kedei lozeh v'kedei lozeh." Kolkin. Everybody agrees that if it's more than eight amos, then there's dalet amos for each. Then you will have a chalukah. My love, a kosel. Like, how will you divide it? Isn't the implication that you're going to build a wall? In which case, that would prove hezek riyashma hezek. That whenever I force the chalukah, there's also a binyan. Says the Gemara, no. Doesn't say anywhere about a kosel. B'masipas b'alma. Maybe just put, like, again, a flimsy kind of a marker to show each person's property. Okay. So that didn't prove anything. Tashma. Hachalonos. B'malamala.
Rab.
Yeah.
Just a simple question. I'm shot. I don't understand. What makes us feel that the only purpose of a wall between properties is the hezekria? Maybe you have privacy, not for private, the word privacy doesn't even enter it. Maybe you don't want your dog going into the yard. There are many reasons for a wall other than hezekria.
Yeah, but we're talking about something which would be, all these cases, we're trying to prove that there's a chiyuv. Not trying to explain why A or B, you know, might have a preference for a wall.
No, in the first line. In the first line of the Mishnah, when the Shifan decide to build a wall, maybe it has something to do with Hezekiah. Maybe it has to do with they both have dogs, and they don't want the dogs going to each other's lawn.
No. If you read the Mishnah, that Mechitza means wall,
right,
and therefore it's a situation where they choose to build a wall,
right,
then in Ochanani it could be for any reason.
And then Hezekiah doesn't come. Then Hezekiah doesn't come into the picture.
Yeah, because the whole point is that Hezekiah lo shma Hezek, and they just happen to make an agreement. But if you read the Mishnah the second way, or these other brises, in which it's not an agreement to build a wall, it's a chiyuv haTorah or chiyuv haHalacha to build a wall. Like, let's say you take the other reading of the Mishnah, which we're going to get to and back to in just a second, which is Hashudfim, you know, Shiratzu. You know, lasos mechitza, right? Bonus a kosel b'emtza, meaning shudfim who decide they want to break up their partnership must build a wall. That's not for dogs. That's only for halachic reasons. So, as long as the implication is that there's a chiyuv, it's a legal requirement, then we need to explain, like, why? What's the point of the legal requirement? There are other ways to preclude trespassing. A mesipas b'alma, just put a marker. You don't need a wall. You don't need dalet amos. By the way, for a dog, I don't think you need a dalet amos either. But the you're right. If ratzu, the building of the wall. But that's the whole point. We're trying to prove Hezek Rieshma Hezek, that's always according to the Makoros that's establishing that there's a chiyuv. If there's a chiyuv to build the wall, then it has to be for some halachic reason. So it's Hezek Ria. Or if it isn't the same thing, Kadei Shalo Kol Echad V'Echad No Yire Kishat Tvuaso Bekomasa, if that's a different reason, hard to know. But certainly Hezek Adarabim, you know, all these things are offshoots in some way of some halachic requirement, which we're connecting to Hezek Ria. Okay? So the Gemara says, Toshma, Hachalonos bein milamala bein milamata bein misha kenegda and dalet amos. If there is somebody who wants to build a chalon, you know, in the kosel, you know, which will allow him to see through or in to the other person's chatzer, bein milamala bein milamata bein mikenegda, you need dalet amos distance. Dalet amos high, dalet amos lower than dalet, higher than dalet, whatever it is. Mataniyala, milamalan kadeshalo yatzitz v'yira, milamatan kadeshalo yamod v'yira, mikeneglan kadeshalo yapil. So keneglan shalo yapil is a fascinating topic, you know, in terms of light. Like, can you build and disrupt, right, the light source, you know, in your home, in your neighbor's home? But that's a big issue. In Meisim, you know, Shebechol Yom. You know, like in Manhattan, you know, they build these massive, you know, buildings, and now they're building them so close to each other because the, you know, the real estate, you know, is so expensive. So there are all sorts of lawsuits all the time, all sorts of, you know, zoning and other requirements to protect light. Or to protect views. Here we're not talking about views, but like people buy, you know, for millions and millions of dollars in these skyscrapers so that they can have, you know, the best view of the harbor. You know, and then the next fellow, you know, buys the parking lot next door or the old gas station, you know, and he puts up a bigger building that, you know, so now he is the only one who has the harbor views. Right? Can you do that or not? These are all issues of, you know, Shekhinah. They're very relevant, always have been. Whenever there are people and there's quality of life, you know, and there's architecture, there are going to be these questions, right? So anyways, Shekhinegdon is Kadesh Aliyah. It's a big issue. You can't block in sunlight. You have to distance it Dalet Amos. But Lamala Lamata, you know, the concern is, you know, that he'll look into the other person's property. Well, what do we care? Hezek Ria, lo, Shema, Hezek. Says the Gemara, Hezeka, Debayis, Shiny. Till now, we've been talking about a chatzer. And even then, we said, Gina, Shiny. And even then, we said, Hezeka, the Rabbim, Shiny. And now we're saying, Hezeka, Debayis, Shiny. Nice. Can we understand it? Sure. As Rashi explains. What's a Zeka de Bias? What's a Zeka de Bias? They say it here, it says it later. Yeah. Sha'adamosa bebeso, divrei hatsnea. Right? People peering into your house, right? Into your private home, that is a different level, you know, than watching what you do in your chatzer outside. Okay. Toshma, the Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel, Dag, Asomach, Chatzer Chavero. Let's say somebody has a roof, which is adjacent to somebody else's chatzer. That's when you're on the roof, you can see into the chatzer, right? So, osano maka gavoa dalet amos. You're supposed to erect a maka, right? A fence, which is gavoa dalet amos, which means you can't see into his property. Why not? Hezek Rielo Shema Hezek. Says the Gemara, Shiny Hasam, the Amar Le Bala Chatzer, the Bala Gag. The Bala Chatzer says to the Bala Gag, listen, Ladidi Kviali Tashmishi. Says, I'm in and out of my Chatzer all the time. Ladidach Lo Kvialach Tashmisha Seich. You know, you're using the roof, you know, sparingly. Veloyadana behe idna slika. I don't know when you're going up there. The osis the itstana minach, right? I just don't know when, you know, to protect myself. As Rashi says on the top of the page on Gimel Amud Aleph, the itstanoi minach divrei hatznea of a chatzar chaluka l'travayu, right? Kviya tashmi shase the kolechad bechelko kolsha loavdi beimili ditzina. In a way, in other words, if two people are next to each other in a chatzer, we're saying right now hezek riya nechatzer lo shma hezek, right? But that's because, you know, if they're both next to each other, they know that they're next to each other, you know, and I guess the downside is that neither one, you know, can treat that private location, you know, exactly as that, as a private, as a place, you know, in which they can conduct themselves, you know, with privacy. Because even though technically each one is a Rishus Hayachid and a Rishus Liatzmo, but the fact is that it's, each one knows that the other person is, you know, constantly present, and therefore each one knows to protect himself, you know, against the other. Or another way of saying it is, you know, Lemaisa becomes, you know, a public private place space rather than a private space, you know, because of the ubiquity of the other party. But the tendency is, right, if I use my makom all the time and he uses his sparingly, so I don't assume that he's there all the time. Right. So the temptation, you know, to use it, or not, never mind temptation. It's appropriate on a certain level, right? Since there's no constant, you know, invasion of my privacy. So it's appropriate, you know, for me to perceive, you know, this chatzer as private, a private place. But in the end of the day, you know, the gag makes me vulnerable. So that vulnerability has to be neutralized by a mak. Once again, though, this is all according to the Mandamar, Hezek Re'ia, right? Lo Shma Hezek. So shiny Gina, the wall itself has still a chalos dal and amos. Shiny Nizke de Rabin. Shiny Tashmishe Abayis, and now a new one, right? This argument, even shiny a chatzer, when the assault, you know, comes from a gag and not from another chatzer. And there's a certain irony in that, of course, because, right, you might have thought the opposite. You might have thought, well, in a chatzer, you know, they're both ubiquitous, you know, so you really need protection. And a gag, it's occasional. But precisely because it's occasional, right, you don't have the, you know, capacity to protect yourself. So that makes it more, not less, of a Hezek Re'iah threat. So all I'm trying to show is, so far, Hezek Re'iah is pretty Shma Hezek for considering that we pass in Hezek Re'iah lo Shma Hezek. Obviously, you know, the bigger question, the idea that this privacy and that needs to be protected, that seems like a davar pasha. The question only is, how far do we push it? And is it just about, you know, situations where objectively, right, you could, you know, that privacy is compromised? Or is it even kind of a right under all conditions in private property, even when there is the capacity for protection, And that's the argument of Hezek v'Yishma Hezek. Which again would work better if it wasn't really Nezek or only Nezek, or maybe in the other cases it's Nezek. And here it's more about, you know, as a good neighbor, I'm obligated, right, to also ensure your privacy, even or your right to privacy, even in cases where you can protect against the invasion of privacy. Okay? This is very subtle, but I hope everybody's catching on. Okay, so, time is up. So let me just finish another line so we can continue next time. In the end, the Gemara goes back to the second pshat. Maybe it wasn't worth it. You know, maybe having established so many shinies, you know, might as well just go for Hezek v'Yishma Hezek. I don't know. So the Gemara says, Lishnachrini, Amrla, Svarua, my Mechitza Plukta. No, maybe the best pshat in the Mishnah is that the word Mechitza means plukta, meaning the sivati machzas ha'eda. And the pshat in the Mishnah is, if two people decide to break their partnership, right, they are obligated to build a wall to each one to accord to ensure that the other one has privacy, even in their chatzar. Akiva deratzu bonin esakosel. So here the Gemara is, you know, this is the Lishnachrina, so it's the same shot from Tariya, but it's just, you know, the opposite direction. The Gemara says, Ema my mechitza guda? Maybe we should say mechitza means a wall. Mechitza's keren shenifritza, just like, you know, mechitza's keren shenifritza amal gedor, nifritza amal gedor, nisiyah yishim and alav gedora, harezu kidesh, v'chai bachri yisa. V'tamad ratzo, Allah ratzo, in v'chai bin alma, Hezek realav Shma Hezek, exactly Shakvatari the Gemara before. Says the Gemara, Yachi bonin asakosa, bonin asomi baile. Everything is flipped, you know. Linguistically, it doesn't work nicely in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Elamai, plukta. You're going to say that it means breaking up the partnership in Hezek Ria Shma Hezek. Yachi shirotsu vasas mechitza, shirotsu vachatsas mi baile. Says the Gemara, Kadamri and she, tanavid, plukta, right? Let's go split up our partnership. Okay. Oh. Says the Gemara, I chezek r'iya shmei hezek, my iria ratzu afilu ro ratzu nami. What's the ratzu? Says the Gemara, amravasim, radokhan and mishnasenu kishein badin chaluka. The reason you need ratzu to break up the partnership is because we're talking about a situation where between them they don't have eight amos. So they don't have four amos each, right? Ema din chaluka. Uhu deratsu. My kamashmalan. Dechileisle din chaluka kiratsu pligi. Tanina. What, it's to teach the Chiddush that if there you don't have eight amos, you can still break up a partnership if they both agree. We know this. Ema sabizman change shneim rotsim. Even if each one walks away with less than Dalit Amos, Kolkin. Says the Gemara, Ibe Hasam Havamina Filopachos Mikan means Bimispis Bialma. Kamash Balan Hacha Koso. Okay, we'll stop here. So basically, the Gemara's conclusion is the Hezek v'Yishma Hezek. Now, once the Gemara concludes this, I'm sorry we're a little over time, just give me one more minute. Once the Gemara concludes this, are there still different madrigos? And if so, are they still in the same order? For example, is Abaya still worse? Is Gog still worse? Is Hezekah de Rabim still worse? More to the point, is Gina still worse? So on the Gina, there's particularly a controversy, I think I mentioned before, between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba. So we'll pick up with the implications of Hezek v'Yishma Hezek, which is the way most Rishonim Paskin. I'm Yirtzeh Hashem next week, and I want to look at the Gemara's in Chesek Sabbatim also.